We're going to start with a few pre-prepared questions and then go into the audience questions. So as we are talking, please feel free to continue to type questions in the chat box. So first, Lindsay, I'd actually like to ask you what your favorite case study or story is from the guide, because we know there are a lot of them. So is there one or two in particular you'd like to direct people to take a look at?
Yes, there are. It was hard to narrow that down. I think we have more than 100 links to resources, to case studies, to examples, to success stories. And it's really amazing how much is out there. Some of my personal favorites were, there's a Empowered Entrepreneur Handbook in the section on, I think the entrepreneur section, which would be in Domain 3, Control Over Income. And I love this was created through the UN Foundation's Clean Cookstoves Initiative, actually, where they they're working to train women as distributors of clean cookstoves. But they do this in entrepreneurial business training, but they have a very strong agency-focused empowerment message as well, which I think is great. It's rare to see those two come together. I also love Root Capital's Inclusive Training Checklist. I believe this is would be in Domain 2, Access to Resources, under maybe Financial Education. And it's a very simple but very important one place to go for if you're giving a training. And this is in the finance section, but it's relevant to really any sort of training that you're giving in the field about things to do and to consider when giving that training. And then I found the communication techniques resources in the communication techniques section at the beginning, also really fascinating. HKI, Helen Keller International, has this Nurturing Connections, which is a couple hours a week type reflection session between men and women to talk about their roles. And it's also often based around about nutrition and whatnot, but very, very much a discussion about gender roles. And then there's another great guide in there linked, Engaging Men in Gender, What Change Agents Need to Know, that I think is another toolkit. Those are just a few of my favorites.
Thank you. Krista, have any projects or missions used the GIF or the WIA guide? We saw a question earlier about the number of which missions are using the GIF, but could you tell us a little more about which projects or missions are using these resources?
Sure. Since this is the second iteration of the WIA Intervention Guide, we hope that missions all sorts have been using the WIA Intervention Guide since the first edition, but we're happy to create a second round of awareness with the revised guide. With the GIF, Bangladesh was probably the first to really systemically use the GIF. They looked at their whole portfolio and decided, and the baseline WIA data, and decided that in order to address what they found the priority gaps were, they really wanted to work in control over income and groups, that they were able to make some tweaks to their extension projects, some of their existing projects with groups, but they decided they wanted to do an entirely new project really to address what they were finding, and that became the Women's Empowerment Activity in Bangladesh, which is currently ongoing. There are several missions, Bangladesh, I believe Pakistan, and some others who are using the GIF currently in some of their program design as not necessarily a checklist, but really some of those guiding questions to say, what are the gender issues in these domains? And in the future, since we are committed to improving women's empowerment, how are we going to work in each of these domains? What do our projects need to focus on? At the project level, in Senegal, PESEA, which is now Natalem Bay, they have done a full GIF for their project. They actually went in and filled in every project in French. So we have a bilingual GIF now. And they use that in their kind of in their current project, in the current version of starting up in Pelham Bay, and also to do a project-centric WEA survey where they are. Someone had asked about the, we've worked with about 5 projects in Ghana and 5 projects in Senegal, having really introductory conversations about the GIF, especially those first 2 columns saying, this is our understanding of what the domains look like where you're working. How does that match with your understanding? Let's identify some priorities. Let's see what you're already doing, and let's start thinking about what questions you want to move forward with. Someone had asked about what the 12 missions are that have someone there who can facilitate a GIF session. I will see if I can name all of them. So Bangladesh definitely has plenty of people. RDMA, Tajikistan, Senegal, Ghana. I saw Susan, you're on. Hi, Susan. Susan will facilitate a GIF for you. Nigeria, Ethiopia, Tanzania, they're facilitating the GIF session right now. Afghanistan, Pakistan, oh, and some people I am probably forgetting. But again, we in BFS, we are happy to get a GIF conversation started.
Great. Well, we're glad to see that it's being used in so many places and that there's even a bilingual GIF. So hopefully we'll start to see that in more locations. So Lindsay, you've already given us a fantastic presentation, introduction into the intervention guide, but could you just give us a little bit more of a reminder about where a staff member or program manager should begin if they're jumping right into it?
Yes, great question. First, start with the data and the research and the data and the information that you have. So what WEA data do you have? What gender analysis do you have? What's the problem that you have? As Krista described, the GIF is a great way to kind of organize that information and figure out what you need to do. So go through that process, and then once you go through that process and you realize what are the activities that you want to focus on, then you can appeal to the WEA guide. Or if that's a situation where you're looking big picture, if there's something very specific, say you know that land is a very particular project problem in your context, then you just open up the guide to the section on, I think it's in the second domain, the section on access to land. See if there's information there for you. A lot of that covers awareness and information about land rights, and so if that's not quite what you're looking for, then there's a ton of resources in there about other places you can go, organizations. And so starting that process would be what I would recommend.
Great. And Krista, would your advice be the same or different if the staff is in the mission for where to start? Where would you recommend someone in the mission begin if they were jumping right into the intervention guide?
I think Lindsay's advice holds. I would say, you know, if you're in the mission, also check with your gender advisor and POC. And also, if you are in a mission that has had a WEA done, go ahead and take a look at your WEA results. The WEA results aren't the end-all and be-all of the information in your GIF. You'll want to incorporate other information, but it's a good place to start to get a first glance at where do we think we might need to be working.
Great. So we've seen a lot of discussion about trying to link to the WEA intervention guide. So I think that we got our technical difficulties sorted out and people can link directly from this chat. But for anyone who is looking for a copy of the WEA intervention guide at a later date, Lindsay, would you like to tell them how they can find it?
Several places you can find it. It's on the Microlinks website. It's on AgriLinks website. I know it's on the Feed the Future WEA webpage. And it's also on ACD Avoca's website as well. So there's several places where you can go. And as Jen mentioned, I think we shared the link with you as well. And it will be sent around with resources to all who have participated in this webinar afterwards.
Wonderful. And Krista, what about the GIF? How can people go about accessing the GIF outside of the links here?
So the GIF is not as well known and doesn't have as good PR representation as the WIA. We're working on that. So there is the download available in this webinar and also on the page afterwards. If you go to the webinar link from my slides, you will find a earlier version of the GIF, but the principles are quite similar. You can also email me or BFS Gender if you are within USAID, or you can talk with one of your project gender advisors or gender POCs within USAID, and they can get them.
Great. So hopefully everyone will be able to find the resources after this webinar and in the future. We are now going to move towards an open question and answer session. So we already collected a lot of questions throughout this webinar. We're going to begin with a few of those. But please feel free to continue to enter questions into the chat box as we move forward. We're going to start by going back to answer a few questions that came in about the GIF. And then we'll go from there. So one question that came in was from Revy Sterling asking, how does this work with the gender empowerment framework from the GenDev group?
Hi. So we are connecting with that framework. I think you're referring to the Women's Economic Empowerment Framework, and Wade Channel is leading a lot of that work. So we're connecting with them, but the GIF is focused in on empowerment in agriculture, and really, at least more theoretically, tied to agricultural production. So lots of people have been asking us, you know, are there tools like the GIF for other sectors, for health, nutrition, labor, employment, other economic sectors? And if you know of any, please feel free to share them. Copy paste them into the chat box. We're always looking for those. And so I'd say we're connected with the Women's Economic Empowerment Framework, but the GIF is really focusing on ag.
And another question came in about the GIF from Indra Klein asking, how are data being captured and what type of software is being used to record and analyze data?
Sure. So right now, the GIF is not based in software. It's really a conversation guide. And it would be fantastic to, you know, use some qualitative software to look at themes that are coming up in the different, and especially those first two columns. Right now, the way we have been doing the GIF is someone like your gender advisor or your someone working in M&E or your AOR CORs, you really have to go around gathering a lot of the information to fill in the first column around what is happening in our country context around each of these domains. So I go and I look at country level gender analyses. I look at national statistics and national reports. I look at project reports. I look at WIA data. And for the understanding what projects are doing, it's a lot of, you know, looking at project information, looking at the future and the future indicators and other indicators, and also having a conversation, you know, with mission staff and with the project staff to make sure, you know, what I'm capturing and what's coming through in the reporting is reflective of what they're seeing. And that's honestly part of the process. If we think about that slide I showed where you have all these different kinds of programming and these different numbers, part of the issue that we're trying to address with the GIF is some of the information we need exists, but it's all over the place. It's not in a single location, and so we haven't been able to put it together and think about it in an organized way. So someone had asked a question about if I'm doing the GIF at a project level, should I start with my theory of change or should I start you know, in the order of the GIF. You want to have your theory of change. The reason I would say, though, start with the GIF process and seeing what's out there first through looking through that first column and all the different domains is when you're working on a project, you are very deeply into and focused on that project. And so that's what you're seeing. And you're often don't have that kind of outside perspective of what else is going on and what's the greater context that we're working in and how are some of those factors affecting what we're doing. And so that would be why I would recommend start with that overall first column of the GIF, understanding the context, then have that mapping of what your activities are doing, and then you can have the conversation about, you know, does our theory of change map to what we're actually seeing happening? I just wouldn't want people to miss out on some of the larger things. Often we're so focused on what we're doing that we miss out on larger patterns.
Speaking of larger patterns, a general question came in from Indra Klein about women working longer hours and at times for no pay. And she asked, are there laws in place to protect workers from working in an environment that can be likened to servitude?
Hi, great question. So find answers to this question and resources on how to figure that out, the WEA guide, you can go to the chapter, the domain chapter, control over income, and there's a section on wage employment. And that will connect you to some other organizations. The one I can think of off the top of my head is WEGO, Women in Informal Employment Organizing. They're a great organization that can talk about some of the things you can do with this problem. I think this is a good way to clarify sort of what is the purpose of what the guide does and what it doesn't. There was another question about the guide in terms of any specific projects on gender empowerment and rice farming. So the guide is not set up in that women's empowerment in agriculture in this value chain, in that value chain, in this crop. It's what you would do in that context if you're looking for empowerment in rice farming. What you would need to do is figure out what is the specific problem you're trying to solve. Is it access to information? Is it financing? Is it a sociocultural issue? Then you go to that part in the guide to figure out what are some things you can do to address those barriers. To customize it to the rice context, that's when you need to use your gender analysis, your value chain analysis, your data to understand the rice context, and then you customize those activities to fit that context. Same thing with Indra, your question about the employment. Same thing. If you need to understand what is the context or what is the challenge that you're trying to address, you go to that section in the guide, and then you use the data and your gender analysis to understand how to customize it to that context.
Great. Speaking of context, would you like to talk a little bit about the specific projects or whether there are resources about projects doing gender empowerment and rice farming?
Yeah, so again, for this one, it would be what you want to start by doing is understanding what is the problem that you're trying to face in rice farming. And then is it access to information, whatever. And then you use the guide to address, to find out what are the projects, what are the interventions that address that barrier. Then you use your gender analysis or value chain analysis to understand the rice context and customize the activities in the guide to fit your rice context. There may be some specific examples in here about rice farming, but again, the guide was not organized around specific value chains. That would be that would be 500 pages or so. It would be very long. So that's the way you can use the guide to answer that question.
So we have a few questions that came in about the WEA itself. Doug Brown that says, do you have any news on the development of the WEA for use with projects and baselines and or evaluations?
Sure. So we have a few things happening with the WEA right now. One of the things that we have happening is we have interim data coming in from our focus countries now. So we will have a second data point for most countries on the WEA to compare with the baselines that came in 2011 and 2012. We also have an abbreviated WEA, which takes 30% less time to do, still has all five of the WIA domains, but not all of the different sub-indicators and pieces. And we're also working on a project WIA. I think that was one of the things Doug was asking about. Those are, so if you are, say, you've got a livestock project, or you have a project that has a strong nutrition component, or you're doing more in markets and agriculture, that kind of work might not necessarily be as suited to the original WIA. There may be things you want to ask about and understand around women's empowerment in livestock, in markets, that aren't included in the WIA as is. And so we are working with Gates and with IFPRI, but we are working on several different kinds of modules to modify the WIA and to also not look at a kind of long-term population-level measurement, but a shorter duration project. So what kinds of changes could we expect to see, say, in a livestock project in a 1 to 3 year period, as opposed to what kinds of changes do we expect to see at a population level in a 5 to 10 year period, the way the original WIA was designed. So those project level WIA are still in the early stages of developing. I think one or two of them are about ready to pilot.
And that sounds like an answer a little bit to the question Matar Gay asked about whether projects are required to update the WIA each year. With the new modules coming out, how are projects or missions following up with the WIA as these changes take place, or as they're looking at the changes, given that the domains are intended to be tracked with changes over time?
All right. So with Feed the Future projects, though I haven't read everyone's contracts, projects are not required to do a WIA, and certainly not a full WIA. So there's no obligation, again, unless it's in your project or work plan, that the projects have to be doing WIA surveys. Projects should be responding to findings of WIA surveys and working to address issues in the domains that the WIA and the GIF measure and examine, but no one's required to be doing a WIA survey and updating the different survey tools. It would be good to look at your WIA baseline data, and as it's coming in the interim WIA data, those are things that you can find along with all the survey tools for the full WIA and the abbreviated WIA that I mentioned. Those should all be available at the WIA Resource Center. If you Google that, it's hosted by IFPRI, and those tools should be there, and the baseline data should be there as well. So in terms of updating and responding, you can and should certainly look at how WIA data has changed in your country. Several projects have collected WIAs or even pieces of the WIA. So maybe there are projects who said, we're doing a lot with credit, so we're going to look at all the information from the WIA that has to do with credit, and we're going to use those questions in our baseline surveys and in our evaluations. So you can certainly take apart the survey and use it in your M&E that way. And you can talk with other projects who have done it and seen what their data is. And I'm happy to, if you send me an email, direct you to some of the existing surveys.
So Tabitha wrote in to say that we could consider youth as part of this analysis and WIA process. And she says that, "I believe it's okay to do an analysis at not only women in general, but women and youth, given the challenge of the aging agricultural population," which is an excellent point. Lindsay, would you like to comment on that?
Yes, I agree. It's an excellent point. I think many of in the WIA intervention guide, many of the activities would benefit of having a more deeper youth lens applied to them. And I think doing a gender youth analysis would really help you to be able to customize to that context. I do think that if there was going to be a third edition, that would be something that we would want to do a better job of, is pulling out the youth dynamic. So I really think that's a great point, and I encourage you to use it in that way.
And also, as you are doing those youth analyses and learning from that, you can certainly put some of that information in the GIF as well, talking about young women and young men, older women and older men, and having a place to store that information about youth.
We've had a question come in about technology, which is definitely featured in the guide a few times as an emerging issue or an emerging opportunity to promote women's empowerment. So Indra has asked to what degree the use of mobile devices and technology strengthen the ability of women to gain equality. So would one of our presenters like to comment on that?
Yes, I think there's a couple places in the guide that you can go to answer that question. There, in particular, the most specific places would be in Domain 1, the interventions about using ICT for agricultural extension talks about technology extensively. And then under Domain 3, Control Over Income, there's the fourth intervention about secure deposit mechanisms, talks about the importance of women having a secure place to store and save their money, and does a little bit about mobile banking as well. And then there's several links to some great resources. The GSMA, Women in Agriculture Toolkit for Mobile Service Providers, is a great resource. It's actually on page 32. I'm looking at it right now in the guide. So I'd encourage you to you can read the overview of that in the WEA guide, and then if you want more information, you can go from there to the links provided.
Great. Well, thank you very much to our presenters, to all of our participants. I'd like to point out that there are many ways that this guide can be used. It's not relevant only at the beginning of a project, but it can be used in the middle of a project. If a project or a mission wants to consider how they can include or incorporate women's empowerment opportunities, because the guide has a lot of information about thinking about gender analysis, thinking about indicators, thinking about behavior change messaging. So there's really a lot to dive into. There's a lot of great case studies and resources. There's links to resources so that you can go to many of the partners who contributed to this effort. So there's a lot to dive into, and you can really think about it at many opportunities. So if you are thinking about embarking on work planning or looking at your monitoring, evaluation, and learning plan, this is a really great resource for you to use. We're also interested in learning about how you might be using this resource. So please feel free to email us, contact us. I'm going to enter my email address in the chat box shortly. But we are definitely interested in hearing from you. And if we are blessed by our donor to perhaps do a third guide, then perhaps you'll be featured in it. But we definitely want to hear from you, and maybe we can moderate some sort of discussion in the future about all the learning we're generating from this opportunity. So thank you again to our presenters. Thank you to you for participating. Thank you very much to MicroLinks for hosting us, because they've done a fantastic job. And we look forward to seeing you at future events. Thank you very much.